What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp, Fightful.com, FightfulSelect.com, here with your AEW NXT review. Now, I should put out there, minutes before I'm recording this, myself and John Alba of Spectrum Sports 360, basically both reported that COVID-19 hit several wrestlers, multiple wrestlers that were in attendance at the last set of AEW tapings. We are not going to reveal names. We do not know if they tested positive on their own or if they tested positive ahead of these tapings at AEW. But before there are any like snarky comments, there's a categorical difference in positive tests and then not testing for 3 months, which is what happened. There is, quite frankly, a breakout among pro wrestlers right now. So if you are a wrestler listening to this, if you're a fan that's attending a show, please take care of yourself. Be careful. Take precautions. Make sure that the promoters are taking precautions and the people around you are as well. But we've got AEW and NXT to talk about. But I want to go ahead and talk about some stuff that stood out from Late Night Dynamite and AEW Dark. Ben Carter. Man, well, I already know this guy's gaining interest among wrestling promotions, but geez, dude. He had an incredible 6 hours. He wrestled Lee Johnson, and I want to make sure that Lee Johnson gets his respect. I want to make sure Scorpio Sky gets his respect. Those three guys had such incredible performances across AEW Dark and Late Night Dynamite. Lee Johnson is so freaking good. Ben Carter is so freaking good. And Scorpio Sky is so freaking good. I don't know if Lee Johnson has a contract right now. Lee Johnson should get one. Ben Carter should get one. And I would kind of love to see them as a team at this point. One of those teams that, you know, they say that Chris Harris and James Storm wrestled against each other so well that they became America's Most Wanted. I would love to see that happen with Lee Johnson and Ben Carter, who had one of the best matches in AEW Dark history this week. It was unbelievable. Hats off to both of those guys. You have to go watch this. AEW Dark is one of the most consistently entertaining programs as far as in-ring wrestling goes. You get a little bit of everything. You might get a squash. You might get a competitive match. You might get one that goes 5 minutes. You might get one that goes 15 minutes. I love the unpredictability of that. And this was an outstanding match. We also had the Late Night Dynamite show, as I mentioned. Scorpio Sky beat Ben Carter. Anna Jay beat Brandi Rhodes. Anna Jay, at least according to Cage Match, less than 15 matches. Brandi Rhodes, as I've been saying for quite a while, way better in the ring than anybody gives her credit for. And they had a good match. Anna Jay had to win that, and she did. Hats off to Anna Jay and Brandi Rhodes. Shawn Spears and Matt Sydal had a good one, too. It ended with Shawn Spears hitting Matt Sydal with the loaded glove and doing the C4. Shawn Spears has helped really anchor that AEW Dark show. And I like what they're doing with him. And I know a lot of people say, oh, well, he's sitting on Dark. Man, he's doing really good on Dark. It would be hard for me to believe that guy isn't at least more creatively satisfied here than he was in WWE, because he's doing a great job on Dark. AEW Dynamite tonight, Miro and Kip Sabian defeated Joey Janela and Sonny Kiss. I did not think this was a good idea to kick off the show. This was a bit of a mess. Not the debut you would want to see from Miro, although he looked like a god physically. He looked insane, man. The rest of this match, oh man. Not great by AEW standards. Miro and Kip Sabian get the win. I don't know what's going to happen there, but I'd run Miro and Kip Sabian out there with another team pretty quickly and try to erase what this was, because this wasn't the type of debut that you would want. Also, I would probably switch my finish. I mean, the camel clutch is aight, but I would probably switch that up, do something different. They're calling it the game over, I think it is, but an underwhelming in-ring debut. Hangman Page took on Evil Uno. I really love that Kenny Omega is on commentary actively rooting against Hangman Page, but trying to be subtle about it, but he's not at all. And it's mentioned that this match was actually offered as a tag team match to Paige and Omega, but that Omega didn't want it as such. There's a lot of ball busting about the vest of Uno. This was good. You know it's good. I actually really like the finish here. Paige picked up Uno and did a pop-up powerbomb and got a near fall. And Paige is like, all right, well, here we go. I didn't get it done. Going to hit him with my finish. Waited on him. Hit him with the finish. Clean as a sheet. There you go. Matt Jackson, without Nick Jackson, smashed Tony Schiavone's phone. That was pretty funny. That was pretty funny. Matt then gave him money to replace the phone that he just smashed. It's not subtle. It's outright. But it's just little things. It was maybe a minute, minute and a half long, and it went a good way in establishing the heel character of Matt Jackson. I'm all for it. Why not? Mr. Brody Lee defeated Orange Cassidy. This match was not for me. I liked the last few minutes, but man, this match and partially the execution of Orange Cassidy's gimmick made this slow to a crawl. It was not for me. I did not like it. Brody Lee won. He should have won. Lights go out and Cody makes his way to the ring. He's got super dark hair, which I'm glad he has dark hair again, but oh man, lots of memes on the internet about this one. He beats up a bunch of the Dark Order. I'm glad to see him back. This show needed this after that match because to me it was slowed to a crawl. It was at a snail's pace, so to speak. He attacked the leg of Five by ramming it into the ring post and putting him in a figure four. Backstage, Brody Lee, he makes a reference to God cutting Cody down, but says that Brody's going to cut him down. I love that. And then challenged Cody to a dog collar match. He said he's going to wrap the dog collar around Cody's godforsaken tattoo. That's a babyface turn right there. That tattoo sucks, man. It's bad. It says Cody has 1 week to answer his challenge. I like that idea. They'll have a brutal match. Matt Hardy comes out with Private Party, says Chris Jericho is the prime suspect for attacking him. Inner Circle come out, and he doesn't care about Matt Hardy's birthday, and he's upset about what he did to Sammy Guevara, and then brings back Sammy Guevara. He said, at first he said, and we don't know when he'll be back. He's gone from AEW. Wait, I lied. Here he is. Private Party then cut promos after Matt Hardy tries to fight all of Inner Circle. They cut promos, and Cassidy challenges Jericho to a match next week. These were not good promos, but they do need the reps, so I'm glad they're getting them. But these were bad promos, I thought. In the grand scheme of things, and wrestling promos all around, probably not that bad. In the scope of AEW, if I got to grade that on a curve, yeah, these weren't great. But, I mean, they're still very young in their careers. They're like, what, 26 and 23? They'll get better. Wrestler's prime isn't for years after that. So we'll see how it goes. And working with Chris Jericho next week probably ain't going to help or ain't going to hurt them in that regard. We had the FTR interview with Tully Blanchard. And Tully says that future FTR matches will be 20 minutes so fans can watch tag team greatness. And they get to pick their opponents and they'll face SCU next week. Dax talked about best friends winning the parking lot brawl last week. And makes fun of them. But then best friends show up and challenge FTR right now, but they ain't doing it. They ain't doing it. And they won't have the match because best friends aren't at 100% and they don't want any excuses. Yeah. Hikaru Shida and Thunder Rosa defeated Ivelisse and Diamante. There was a weird spot here where Ivelisse tagged in and then got back out of the ring like twice. I'm not sure what was going on with that. Otherwise, I thought this was a pretty good match. There were a couple sloppy spots, but I thought it was pretty good. You could tell that Ivelisse and Rosa definitely threw some stuff at each other, capitalizing off of last week. Ivelisse was laying it in there, as they should. They should capitalize off that. Why not? But I thought this was pretty solid. I hope they keep using Thunder Rosa, although she did say that her October is wide open right now. Dasha interviews Chris Jericho, and he says he respects Isaiah Cassidy for challenging him, and he accepts it. And MJF shows up, and they talk to each other about how they've disrespected each other in the past. Then they both deny that and realize that they like each other an awful lot, and they talk trash about limos and Tony Schiavone. This was a fun segment, and I wouldn't mind seeing MJF associated with Inner Circle. We'll see. But I thought that was pretty solid. Earlier in the night, we had Eddie Kingston have to be separated from Jon Moxley. So what happened was Lance Archer revealed earlier this evening that he had COVID-19. And I'm going to assume that there was some planning associated around this. At 4:31, Lance Archer revealed that he had COVID-19 and he would not be wrestling in the main event that night. Minutes later, at 4:43, Jon Moxley tweeted, "Change of plans, putting up the title tonight, live TV. 2 minutes later, at 4:45, Eddie Kingston said, "Oh, really? I was never eliminated from that battle royal? Come on, Mox. We're cut from the same cloth. Come on, Mox. Come on, Tony Khan. Check the rules. I want it tonight." And then at 4:55, Tony Khan said that that match was on. Graphic made and everything. Within 30 minutes, there were not a lot of people talking about the fact that Lance Archer had COVID. That was a pretty masterful PR job. Honestly, they announced it. They changed the match. And then they got something else out there. They over-delivered from the main event that got canceled. Good for them. Moxley and Eddie Kingston was really good. I don't usually like the sit around and trade chops spot, but with them, I believed it. I liked it. This was physical. There was one of my favorite clotheslines that I've seen in recent memory from Moxley to Kingston. It was outstanding, and you knew it was going to be outstanding. And Jon Moxley continues to look great as a champion. He continues to do the thing. And Eddie Kingston went in there and contended with the champion and wasn't just blowing hot air from a storyline perspective. He's went in there and he's competed for two titles. He's lost both of them. It clearly affects him mentally within the scope of his character, in which I truly appreciate. Boy, do I appreciate that. Next week, FTR, Isaiah Cassidy versus Chris Jericho, Britt Baker's return, Ricky Starks versus Darby Allin, all set. Jon Moxley will appear. After this match, Jon Moxley got attacked. Will Hobbs came out to make the save. Then Darby Allin tried to make the save. But Ricky Starks kind of left things uneven for them as it was a 4-on-3 with the Lucha Brothers. And they left the baby faces laying. This is fine. Ricky Starks looks like a star. He dresses like a star. He talks like a star. Moves, walks, talk, everything. He is going to be really, really good for them. He's just going to be amazing. You look at a guy like that and you're like, good God, how did nobody else pick him up full time? NXT, there was a lot that I liked about NXT tonight. The Battle Royal, I did not like that Battle Royal. I liked Rhea and Raquel eliminating a lot of people, but Candice LeRae ends up winning, last eliminating Shotzi. That's going to be good. Candice LeRae and Io Shirai is going to be good. They like stole the show last year. They're going to have another good one. You just know they are. And then Candice LeRae stands a pretty good chance of beating her too and doing a title program with Tegan. I think that would be really good. I still think there's something to the story of these friends who wanted to be friends and Tegan getting her that title and saying, look, I'm a better friend than you. I think they could work for Sasha and Bayley as well. Tommaso Ciampa defeated Jake Atlas. This was a good, shorter match, but Tommaso Ciampa wins with a modified version of the fairy tale ending. Instead of dropping him face first, he sort of did a double underhook roll into a slam. So in case you're wondering and you didn't get a chance to see it, Ciampa would double underhook Atlas, raise him up to a vertical position, then spin Atlas towards his left arm, Ciampa's left arm, and land him flat on his back between Ciampa's legs. And I really dug it. I liked it. It was something different. He keeps establishing moves. So I'm all for it. I really liked this tag team tournament of sorts. William Regal is very confused as Fandango pitches this to him, but basically there are four teams. Legado del Fantasma, Lorcan and Birch, Undisputed Era, Imperium. One member of each team will make up two teams. So you got Roderick Strong of Undisputed Era and Danny Birch against Fabian Aichner of Imperium and Raul Mendoza of Legado del Fantasma. The winner will face each other. So next week, it'll be Lorcan and Birch against Strong and Bobby Fish. They picked up the win. This was good. I liked it. It added some stakes. Cool. Johnny Gargano gives Austin Theory a pep talk before his match with Damian Priest, but it doesn't matter. Damian Priest beats him. I don't want to see Damian Priest sell his entire matches. Good match, but I don't want to see him sell. I want to see him do Falcon Arrows. I want to see him do dives to the outside. I want to see him do Cyclone Kicks. And then I want to see him do a South of Heaven, a Razor's Edge, a Reckoning, all that. Eventually he did. He beat Austin Theory. Okay. Isaiah Swerve Scott wants to face Santos Escobar one-on-one for the Cruiserweight title. I mean, this is going to be a good match, but I saw this in the tournament. Already saw it. I've seen him face Legado del Fantasma on 205 Live. I saw him face Legado del Fantasma on NXT in August. I saw him compete for the Cruiserweight title on August 26th. I saw him in a street fight against Legado del Fantasma earlier this month. I think it's time we move on. How is this title going to get any buzz like this? One, I don't think that Santos Escobar has gotten the kind of buzz that they hope for. So if Swerve Scott becomes champion, I'm fine with that. Ridge Holland squashes Antonio De Luca. That was cool. There's an interview with Io Shirai. She gets interrupted by Candice LeRae and Johnny Gargano. Damian Priest comes out of nowhere and lays Johnny Gargano out. That was cool. Shotzi Blackheart versus Dakota Kai next week. I like that match. Kyle O'Reilly wins the Top Contender Gauntlet match, and he started it off. This was really good babyface booking. He started it off with Kushida. If you all have not seen Kyle O'Reilly's match with Kushida from Best of the Super Juniors years ago, oh, God, it's one of the best matches I've ever seen. I know a lot of you all know I'm a sucker for a good double wrist lock from the old catch wrestling training. They built a match around that double wrist lock, which was the hoverboard lock, Kushida's finisher. It's masterful, and I love to see the grappling that they pulled off right here. Bronson Reed came in, and then Velveteen Dream would cause Kushida to end up getting pinned. After that, we would get Timothy Thatcher in, and he just looks like a rugged son of a gun. Fits in so well with these matches. I got to see him face Kushida. I got to see him face Kyle O'Reilly in a singles match. Just some grappling going on. Cameron Grimes came in, and boy, did he show out. He did one of the best. I call it the mushroom stomp. He calls it the cave-in, and I thought that he did a great one. He was outstanding here. Timothy Thatcher ends up getting pinned, and I did not like the manner in which he got pinned. I thought it made him look weak. I don't think he should be getting pinned with a roll-up. But Bronson Reed also got beaten along the way, before Timothy Thatcher, rather. Grimes ends up tapping out to a heel hook, and Kyle O'Reilly is your top contender and will face Finn Balor at NXT TakeOver. Ooh boy, am I excited for that one. NXT TakeOver now has Io Shirai versus Candice LeRae, Damian Priest versus Johnny Gargano, and Finn Balor versus Kyle O'Reilly. Three matches that I am completely excited for. That show is going to be a banger. I get the feeling that Finn Balor is going... We're going to see a Finn Balor at this show that might have his best match in WWE. The best match in Finn Balor's WWE career, whether it be up to this point or following this point, might be this. That's how good I think Kyle O'Reilly is, and that's how I think that Finn Balor is able to adapt to Kyle O'Reilly perfectly. I cannot wait for that. Can't wait for it. Damian Priest and Johnny Gargano, that's going to be awesome. Io Shirai, Candice LeRae, we know that's going to be awesome. NXT, man, I had more buzz from NXT than AEW coming out of tonight's show. That doesn't happen very often. But NXT had a really good show, and they did that shorthanded as well. Undisputed Era come out, Adam Cole and Roderick Strong, and celebrate with Kyle O'Reilly as Finn Balor points at him. Man, I am pumped. Pumped for NXT TakeOver. Well, guys, let me know what you liked, what you didn't like out of AEW NXT this week. Till next time, we're out.